My God, when I approach your throne and all your glory see, this is my stay and this alone, that Jesus died for me. How can a soul condemned to die escape the just decree? A vile, unworthy wretch am I, but Jesus died for me. What glorious love, redeeming love, that bore my shame on Calvary. I will forever sing his praise because I owe him everything. Weighed down by sin's oppressive chain, oh, how can I get free? No peace can all my efforts gain, but Jesus died for me. What glorious love, redeeming love, that bore my shame on Calvary. I will forever sing his praise because I owe him everything. Because I owe him everything. One day I'll look upon your face, and this will be my plea. Save me by your almighty grace, for Jesus died for me. Save me by your almighty grace, for Jesus died for me.
Lord, thank you all so much for that song. This thing working? It's got batteries this week. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. The devil's been in our sound system the last couple weeks, stealing batteries and everything else. Well, we got it covered. Thank you so much for that. You know, they sang that song about what Jesus did for us. He took our place. You know, we can't go to heaven without Jesus. And so it's good. It's not by works of righteousness which we have done, the Bible says, but according to his mercy hath he saved us. And the only way you're going to get there is to call upon him and ask him to be your Savior. He said that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And listen, I'm grateful for my Heavenly Father. So grateful for my Heavenly Father and all that he's done for me. He made more sacrifices for me than any earthly father could ever do. And I'm so grateful for our Heavenly Father. Thank you all so much for that song. I do, again, want to, while you're turning, take your Bibles to Ephesians chapter number 6. Ephesians chapter number 6, we're going to have one verse that we read and start in. This is Father's Day, and I'm going to be preaching a Father's Day message to you this morning. And something that the Lord has been this week while we were away at camp even, bringing my mind back to some things that I was studying on our Wednesday night series. And I started looking at two different fathers in the Bible this week, as we had a time at camp where they gave them a time after breakfast, and it was called Time Alone with God, where they sat for 30 minutes just reading the Bible and getting alone with our Heavenly Father. And as I was reading through some things, I was studying out some things for this Sunday. Just because I was away at camp didn't mean I didn't have to prepare. I still had to prepare some things and started writing some things down and asking God to give me direction and just some things that the Lord helped me with this week. I don't believe that I can justly preach the Bible unless it's something that God's dealt with me about and that I'm able to help you with because God's helped me with. And I want to try to be a help and a blessing to you this morning. The message is going to be for fathers today. However, it applies to all Christians. And so let us all, if ladies, don't turn me off today thinking, well, this is just a message for the fathers. Teenagers, don't turn me off, okay? This isn't just for men here today. It's for Christians in general. But fathers, God has made you to be leaders. And we have to take a stand in this generation we live in. We have a generation where there's a lack of fathers who don't invest in their families today. And we need to get back into doing those kind of things and have be the leaders that God had made us to be. But I want to preach to you this morning on that subject. But let's take our Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6. And if you would stand with me, if you're able to, as we read the Word of God. There's our text verse is the main verse we're going to read here. But I'm going to start in Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 1. And we're going to go down through verse number 4. And verse number 4 is going to be our text verse this morning. But I'm going to start in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1. It says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." That word nurture is training, teaching. Admonition is warnings, chastisements. Listen, we as fathers, we ought to be training them, teaching them in the ways of God, but then disciplining them and admonishing them and warning them and training them to be right. And he said, train them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And so I'm going to preach a message to you this morning called, "What Kind of Father Are You?" What kind of father are you? And let's pray, and then we're going to flip back to the book of Genesis and look at two fathers. And we'll just want you to search your heart this morning. And when the Holy Spirit tugs, you listen, okay? I had to, and it wasn't very easy this week to have to admit some things about my life that I had to get right as a father and different things. So let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Lord, we love you. Thank you for the day that you've given to us. Thank you for this Father's Day. And we could just, Lord, just take time to honor our fathers. Thank you for the father that you gave me. The earthly father which I have that kept us in church my whole life, and I just thank you for that so much. But thank you for the day that I got saved. Holy Spirit, when you took up residence inside of me, and you became my heavenly Father. And Lord, I just thank you so much for that day. Lord, help me never to lose the joy of my salvation. Help me to long after you and long for you. If there's anyone here today that does not know you as their personal Lord and Savior, I pray they'll trust you today. And Lord, we'll give you the praise and glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. Thank you for standing. Now take your Bibles, if you would, please, and turn over to the book of Genesis. The book of Genesis, that's the very first book of the Bible. Okay, the book of Genesis. And chapter number 22. Genesis chapter number 22. I've been preaching a series on Wednesday night on faith. Our theme this year is faith that moves mountains, and I've talked about faith a lot on Wednesday nights. God's kind of directed my heart towards this series on faith. And listen, I think you could preach for years and years and years on faith and never exhaust what faith really is and what the Bible has to say about faith. But we're going to read some verses here this morning out of Genesis chapter number 22. We're going to talk about a young man who had some attributes about his life because they were passed down from his father. And we're going to talk about those things in Genesis chapter number 22. Starting in verse number 1, the Bible says, "And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clave to the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went unto the place of which God hath told him. And on the third day Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you." Now listen, what did God just tell him to do? He told him to go sacrifice his son, didn't he? He said, take thy son, thine only son Isaac. He said, he wants you to take him, whom thou lovest, the land of Moriah. He said, and offer him for a burnt offering. But here in verse 6, he's telling him, he said, the lad and I are going to come back to you guys. That talks about some faith in God right there, doesn't it? See, God had promised Abraham that through Isaac's seed, his seed would be multiplied. So he knew that God was going to do something. If God told him to offer his son for a burnt offering, he had to do it and God just leave it in God's hands. And as he got here, he knew that God would keep his word. And he said, and Abraham took the wood, verse number 6, It said, and Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, my father. And he said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold, the fire and the wood, but where's the lamb for the burnt offering? You know, something that stood out to me in these verses was Isaac knew what it was to offer sacrifices to God. He had seen his father do it several times. He had known what it was about. How would he know that they were missing something if his father didn't offer things to God where Isaac could see it? You see, Abraham had an example in Isaac's life. And he said, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Verse 8, and Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him upon the altar of wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. And he said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing that thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up a burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham called the name of the place Jehovah Jireh, which is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. As I read through this account here in the Bible, I saw some things about Isaac that really intrigued me. And I saw that Isaac, first off, he was obedient to his father. He followed his father carrying the wood, and he was walking with his father. And he asked his father a question. He said, where's the lamb for the offering? And when his dad said, God will provide himself a lamb, you know, he trusted his dad. And he followed his dad. And I want you to understand, Isaac wasn't a little child at this point. He understood exactly what was going on. But Isaac had submission to his father. His dad bound him and placed him on the altar. Listen, most of us, if our father tried to kill us and we knew what happened on an altar, that something had to die, most of us would fight. Say, get away from me. You don't touch me, crazy man. What's going through your mind? Don't leave me alone. You trying to kill me? What's going on? But Isaac submitted to his father. Let his dad bind him and put him on the altar. And he raised up the knife to kill his son. And I could just think Isaac is probably wondering what's going on. But God said, stop. Abraham, stop. He said, I know that thou fearest God. And the great example in the Bible here that I love to see, it said that a ram was caught by his horns in a thicket. It's a very representation of the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave him life as a sacrifice for us. But what was neat about that, Brother Doug, is when he's caught by his horns in the thicket, it's a picture of that crown of thorns that Jesus Christ had upon his head for you and I, which was the very curse of sin in Genesis chapter 3. When God cast judgment upon the earth, it said thorns and thistles came forth, which was a representation of the sin of mankind that Jesus Christ played on his head for us, which is the ultimate sacrifice for you and I. And what a picture it is in this passage of how God does that, where he said God will provide himself a lamb. And we know the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world, is Jesus Christ. And when he died on the cross, he said it is finished. That means they didn't have to do this anymore. They didn't have to go there and sacrifice lambs. Why? Because he died once for all. He sealed it that day. And I'm glad for that. But as I looked at Isaac's life, I thought, where did Isaac, Brother Josh, develop these characteristics? Where did he get them from? See, this is Father's Day, and I believe Isaac spent a lot of time with his dad. See, Isaac was God's promise. We also know that we're still battling something because Abraham got something in his mind. Abraham was a very righteous man, but he tried to do things his own way at one time. And we know that he went with Hagar and had Ishmael, and then that wasn't God's promise. And what was intriguing is, as you read this passage, he said, take thy son, thine only son, Isaac. Now, this wasn't his only son. It was his only promised son. See, it was God's plan for Isaac to be born. Listen, when we try to do things our way instead of God's way, it has everlasting consequences. And you say, what's that mean? If you look over in Palestine today and all the problems that we have in the Middle East today, it's all because of Abraham tried to do things his way instead of God's way. And you have Ishmael, the Palestinians, the Ishmaelites, fighting against the Israelites, which was the descendants of Isaac. They're fighting over a birthright and property, over who's the one that gets the inheritance. That's what they're fighting over today. They're mad at one another. Why? Because Ishmael's saying, I'm the firstborn. I'm the one that should be getting this. But Isaac's saying, no, I'm God's promised one. It was given to me by God. And ultimately, he is right. It is the Israelites. Why? Because that was God's chosen people and God gave it to them. But that's why we're fighting this battle, all because Abraham tried to do things his own way and didn't believe God. And we need to learn from those lessons. But Abraham, for the most part, as we read through his life, he taught Isaac some very wonderful things. See, I'm going to talk to you about two different fathers this morning. And in Genesis chapter 22, we see the father Abraham, who was a surrendered father. He was a father that was surrendered to the will of God. He wanted God to guide his life. And here God gives him a command, and he says, Abraham, Abraham. And what I think is intriguing is he says, here I am. He didn't wait around and say, God, hold on a minute, I'm busy. When God spoke, Abraham said, here I am. Lord, what do you want of me? And he said, I want you to take thy son, thine only son Isaac, and I want you to offer him as a burnt offering. Most of us would say, no, God, there's no way I can do that. That's my son. You gave him to me. I can't take my son and sacrifice him. I don't know, God, anything else but not that. But it doesn't show Abraham arguing with God. It says, and he arose early in the morning, and he got all the preparations, and he took the young men with him to help him, and he took Isaac, his son, and he was just following the Lord wherever God said to go. And he was surrendered. He was a surrendered father. And that's because he was a surrendered father, we see some attributes. And the first attribute was that he feared God. We see that verse down here in as we read down through verse number 10 through 12. It says, and Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. And he said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God. Why was he surrendered? What made him surrender is he had a reverential fear of God. He knew that he had to obey God no matter what was said. When God told him to do something, whether he agreed or not, he said, God, I have to obey him. He had that kind of fear of God. And I believe that's why Isaac was able to submit himself unto his father, because he saw his father submit himself to God. He was able to surrender his will to his earthly father because his earthly father surrendered his will to his heavenly father. See, Isaac learned some attributes from Abraham. He learned how to submit to the authority that's in his life. See, when he saw his daddy obey God, it helped him to obey his daddy. Listen, it's very important for us dads to learn that. Parents, it's very important for us to learn those kind of things. If we're not obeying God, how can we expect our children to obey us? We have to obey God. We need to obey him. We know that even Saul, when Saul disobeyed God, Samuel the prophet came to him and he said, for to obey is better than sacrifice. Listen, he was a surrendered father. Why? Because he feared God. We saw it said he knew that he was a man that feared God. Not only did he fear God, but he followed God wherever God wanted him to go. Look at Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12. I want you to see it. It's God's words, not mine. He feared God. He followed God. Genesis 12, verse 1 through verse 8. Now the Lord had said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and I will make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curseth thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. So Abraham argued with God. Is that what it said? So Abraham said, God, let's make a deal on this one. You're telling me to leave my homeland. You're telling me to leave my comfort zone. You're telling me to step out into something that's unknown. And God, I don't know about this. That's not what he said. If you read through the passage, look at verse 4. So Abraham departed, as the Lord had spoken unto him. And Lot went with him. And Abraham was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. Can you imagine being 75 years old and God saying, hey, I want you to pack up and move? You say, okay, God, where are we going? Don't worry about it. Just go. Most of us would say, well, Lord, how am I supposed to go somewhere if I don't know where I'm going? Could you imagine Abraham's wife? Where are we going? I really don't know, but we're going. I know my wife would probably be like, you're crazy. We're moving, and where are we going? I don't know. What, we're just going to live in a U-Haul truck? I mean, what's going on? But you think of Sarah. Abraham comes to her and says, hey, God just told us to get out of our homeland. We have to just follow him. Well, where are we going to follow him to? Don't really know. But we got to go. Most of us would say, God, you know, maybe if you make sure that, you know, I have a pension and that I have all the money over here, I'll go over there, Lord. God, as long as, you know, I'm making sure that everything's secure. Listen, he says we need to live by faith. I'm not saying throw everything you have away if God's not told you to do something, okay? But if God tells you to do something, obey him. Because where God guides, he provides. And God is able to meet your needs far better than you can meet your own. And so you need to trust him. And verse number 4, it says, so Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him, and Abraham was 75 years old when he departed out of the land of Haran. And Abraham took Sarah his wife and Lot his brother's son and all their substance that they had and gathered and the souls that they had gotten in Haran, and they went forth to go to the land of Canaan, and into the land of Canaan they came. So Abraham passed through the land unto Shechem and the place of Moreh, and the Canaanite was then in the land. And the Lord appeared unto Abraham and said, unto thy seed will I give this land. And there be builded, and there built he an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. And he removed from thence unto a mountain on the east side of Bethel, and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west, and Hai on the east. And there he builded an altar unto the Lord, and called upon the name of the Lord. See, we started out here in Genesis 22, where Abraham built an altar unto the Lord, and Isaac saw his father. Listen, we're seeing here in Genesis 12, this isn't the first time Abraham had built an altar. This isn't like the first time that he ever obeyed God. We see not only because he was surrendered did he fear God and able to sacrifice his own son, but he had followed God. This was a habit for Abraham. He obeyed God. And his family could see that he obeyed God. And that's what helped Isaac to be able to obey his father. See, Isaac had faith in his father's relationship with God. Isaac had faith in his daddy's walk with God. Can you imagine, parents, if you came to your child, how much faith do you have in God? How much walk do you have with God? That if you came to your kids and you said, hey, listen, God promised he would preserve you throughout the generations, but he just told me to kill you. Most of them would say, you're nuts. Get out of my room and shut the door. Or they'd run for their life, screaming and hollering. But how much faith can they put in your relationship with God? If you tell them, hey, God's led us to do this, can they know that it's genuine and that it's real and trust you because of your walk with God? See, Isaac was big enough to carry the wood up the mountain. And he's walking behind his father, following his father, and he says unto his father, where's the lamb? And his dad says, God will provide himself a lamb. And then they get there, and I could just see them building the altar. and laying the wood upon the altar, Brother Doug. And Isaac's probably thinking, any time now, Lord. Well, but you know what? My daddy walks with God. And he said God was going to provide himself a lamb. And I could just see Abraham start, Isaac, come here. And Isaac walks over to his daddy and he begins to tie Isaac up. I can see Isaac thinking to himself, Lord, it sure would be a blessing if you'd hurry. But I know Dad said that you were going to provide. And so he willingly submitted. And he laid upon the altar. And I could just see him looking and his dad pulls out the knife. Isaac probably was sweating it by now. What's happening here? But he still stayed submitted. He still stayed quiet. And Abraham raises that knife up to slay his son, and God says, stop. I bet you Isaac did one of those, thank you, Lord. But see, Isaac could put faith in his father because Abraham put faith in his father. Listen, it's very important for us to walk a spiritual life, to be surrendered to God, to have a fear of God, to follow God. Why? So that the next generations can follow God. If you read the book of Psalm, David said, when I'm old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not until I've shown thy strength unto this generation and thy power to everyone that is to come. See, we're to be examples to the next generation. But Abraham was surrendered, Father, because he feared God, because he followed God. Look at Genesis chapter 15. He feared God. He followed God. When God told him to do something, he followed him. Look at Genesis 15, verse 8. It says, and the Lord said, and he said, Lord God, whereby shall I know that I shall inherit it? And he said unto him, take me a heifer of 3 years old, and a she-goat of 3 years old, and a ram of 3 years old, and a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. And he took unto him all these and divided them in the midst and laid each piece one against another, but the birds divided he not. And when the fowls came down upon the carcasses, Abraham drove them away. And when the sun was going down, it says, and when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abraham, and lo, an horror of great darkness fell upon him. And he said unto him, know of surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in the land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. See, this whole passage is Abraham fellowshipping with God. He's talking with God. He's asking God, God, what do you want me to do? And God reveals it to him. And then he talks with God, and when God tells him to do something, he obeys God. He's having a relationship with God. He's fellowshipping with God. You know, God's desire, child of God, is to fellowship with you. He wants to fellowship with you. He wants to walk with you and talk with you. You say, how does he do that? He talks to us through the Word of God. And we talk to him through prayer. That's why it's very important for us to have that daily Bible reading time and prayer time, because we need to fellowship with God. Abraham was surrendered because he feared God, because he followed God, and because he fellowshiped with God. And because of those things, Isaac could put faith in his father. And because Isaac put faith in his father, he saw that and it able. Here's what helped happen to him, is he put faith in his father and he loved his father, because Abraham put faith in God and loved God. And when you put faith and love together, guess what they equal? Surrender. Surrender. You put faith and love together, it equals surrender. When you have faith in God and you love God, you're going to surrender to him. He was a surrendered father. But I want you to look at Genesis 19. Genesis 19. I'm not going to read through all of this for sake of time, but Genesis chapter 19, starting in verse number 4, It said, but before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round about, around both old and young, all the people from every quarter. And they called unto Lot and said unto him, where are the men which came in to thee this night? Bring them out to us that we may know them. And Lot went out at the door unto them and shut the door after him and said, I pray you, brethren. Look what he's calling these wicked people. He's calling them brethren. This is Lot that walked with Abraham, that saw his uncle's faith in God. But he chose the well-watered plains of Sodom. He turned his way towards the world. And we don't see a surrendered father here. We see a sinful father. Look, he's looking at these men, these Sodomites, that want to do wicked things with these men that just came into Lot's house. And he calls them brethren. And Lot went out the door unto them and shut the door after him. Verse 7, he said, and I pray, brethren, do not so wickedly. Behold now, I have two daughters which have not known man. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you, and do ye unto them that is good in your eyes. Only unto these men do nothing, for therefore came they under the shadow of my roof. And they said, stand back. And they said again, this one fellow came in to sojourn, and he will needs be a judge. Now will we deal worse with thee than with them. And they pressed sore upon the man, even Lot, and it came near to breaking the door. But the men put forth their hand and pulled Lot into the house to them and shut the door. And they smote the men that were at the door of the house with blindness, both small and great, so that they wearied themselves to find the door. Here I want you to see the difference in this father than we saw in Abraham. He had the same opportunity that Abraham had to do right. He had the same opportunity Isaac had. Isaac saw Abraham walk with God. Lot saw Abraham walk with God. In chapter 12, when God told Abraham to leave his homeland and to go to a place that he didn't even know, it said he took Lot with him. Lot followed him. Lot saw him sacrifice altars, make an altar and sacrifice unto the Lord. Lot saw his uncle be submitted and surrendered to God. He saw the fear that his uncle had. He saw that his uncle followed God and that he fellowshiped with God. But here, this sinful father chose the way of the world rather than the ways of God. And we know what happens in this story. These men come to visit Lot in Sodom. See, now his tent wasn't just pitched toward Sodom. He wasn't just looking the direction of Sodom now. He's living inside the city. He's involved in all the wickedness that's going on around them. And listen, he was a sinful father because of his lack of surrender. His lack of surrender. Look at verse 14. And Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy the city. But he seemed as one of them that mocked unto his sons-in-law. Listen, Isaac could follow Abraham because Abraham followed God. But here it came down to a crucial, pivotal point in the lives of Lot and Lot's family. And when he comes running to his sons-in-law and says, listen, y'all married my daughters. God's going to destroy this land. You need to get out. They laughed at him. They said, who are you, Lot, to tell me what God's going to do? You don't talk to God. You don't walk with God. Listen, is that our testimony to people? When we come up to them and say, hey, God's going to do this. They say, yeah, you're telling me about God. Here, this sinful father had a lack of surrender. And because of his lack of surrender to God, his family is about to be destroyed. They're about to be destroyed. And though he's crying out and he's begging and he's pleading, because of his lack of surrender to God, they weren't willing to surrender to him and to follow his leading in that. And it's a very tragic story because of his lack of surrender and his lack of spirituality. We see it in chapter 19, verse 4 through verse 8. We read it said, but before they laid down the men of the city of Sodom, compassed his house about, and they called on Lot and said unto him, where are the men which came into thee this night? Bring them out unto us, that we may know them. And Lot went out of the door unto them and shut the door after him and said, I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. Look how wicked Lot is. How sinful Lot is. Look at verse 8. Behold, now I have two daughters which have not known man. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you, and do ye to them as is good unto your eyes. Could you imagine that? Can you imagine? Dads, think about this. You have daughters. If you have daughters, think about this. You're willing to give your daughters to some wicked people and think nothing of it. He offered his daughters to all these wicked people. That shows you how far sin will take you. See, he was called Just Lot at one point. Now, guess what? He pitched his tent towards Sodom. Oh, I won't go any further than that. It looks like a well-watered plain. The grass is green. Brother Shane, you know the grass is greener over septic tanks. It really is. And we think, oh, because the grass is green, everything's going to be good. And he pitched his tent towards Sodom. And then he got closer and closer. And then he became one of the watchmen at the gate. People in town knew him. But you know, Brother Travis, he wasn't having a religious effect on them. He wasn't having a righteous effect on them. He goes into his house and these Sodomites come to his house and they want to do some wicked acts. And he goes out and shuts the door and he says, listen, how about I just give you my daughters? What a sinful, wicked man. And he got to this place in his life. He wasn't surrendered to God. He had a lack of surrender. He had a lack of spirituality. He's willing to give his daughters up. You know what else he had? He had a lack of standards. He had a lack of standards. Look at chapter 19, verse 31. It says, and Lot went, and the firstborn said unto the younger, our father is old. There is not a man in the earth to come in unto us after the manner of all the earth. Come, let us make our father drink wine, and let us lie with him, that we may preserve seed of our father. And they made their father drink wine that night. And the firstborn went in and lay with her father, and she perceived, and he perceived not when she lay down, nor when she arose. And it came to pass on the morrow that the firstborn said unto the younger, behold, I lay yesternight with my father. Let us make him drink wine this night also, and go thou in and lie with him, that we may preserve seed of our father. And they made their father drink wine that night also. And the younger arose and lay with him, and he perceived not when she lay down, nor when she arose. Thus were both the daughters of Lot with child by their father. And the firstborn bare a son and called his name Moab. And the same is the father of the Moabites unto this day. And the younger, she also bare a son and called his name Benami. The same is the father of the children of Ammon unto this day. Look, his standards were so low that he was okay with his daughters getting him drunk. And he got so drunk that he didn't even realize that his daughters were now impregnated by him. You see how far sin took Lot? When Lot left Sodom, his wife was even so attracted to Sodom that she even looked back when God told him not to. You know what? She could have been looking back because she knew her daughters were still there. She could have been looking back in horror, wondering, did my daughters come out after us? But had Lot been obedient to God, first off, they wouldn't have been in that position. But had Lot been obedient to God, his family would have been able to trust him and to follow him when he followed God. Fathers, let me ask you this, what kind of father are you? Are you a surrendered father? or are you a sinful father? Christians, this isn't just for fathers, it's for you today. There's another generation that's following behind us. Here's the example of this. America was founded on godly principles. We were one nation under God. Even on our money, it says, in God we trust. But go out those doors and try to preach about God and find out what happens. People will scream tolerance. They'll scream, you can't preach about God, it's too offensive. They'll start talking about this nation, Brother Bobby, that was found on godly principles has turned their back on God. And our next generation to follow doesn't know God. Why? Because those of us that are leading the way have failed them miserably. We haven't been surrendered to God, that we feared God, and we follow God, and we fellowship with God, but rather we're the sinful one, the lack of surrender, the lack of spirituality, the lack of standards, and that's where we are in our generation today, and that's why kids have no concept of what it is to feel the power of God and the presence of God upon their life. That's why it's hard-pressed to see of revival today. It's why it's hard-pressed to see of things happening for God today. Why? Because God's people have turned away from God. We have a sinful life that is contrary to the things that God wants us to do, and we're not surrendered, and we're not following Him. We're not spiritual. We don't have standards. And so what happens? Our kids end up like Lot's kids. Why can't they end up like Isaac, who was willing to be submissive to his father, who was willing to be obedient to his father, who had faith and love for his father, because he had faith and love for his heavenly Father? Listen, you're either surrendered or you're sinful. There's no in between. You can't be partly surrendered. You can't be lukewarm. Churchgoer on Sunday, all for God. One for Jesus, two for Jesus, three, here we go. But then on Monday through Saturday, it's who's Jesus? And your coworkers know. And your neighbors know, your family members know, if you're surrendered or if you're sinful. Parents, your kids know. You can put on a good front in front of a preacher. You can put on a good front at church. But you're either surrendered or you're sinful. And you don't have everybody fooled. First off, you don't have God fooled. God knows your heart. He knows if you're surrendered to Him, or He knows if you're sinful. Church, we just need to clean up today. If we're sinful, there's hope. Because the one who is hope is still alive and well. And He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He says, cast all your cares upon me, for He careth for you. He says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You know what? Because of Lot's lack of spirituality, Brother Doug, a whole entire city was destroyed. Because God said, if you'll find 10 righteous, I'll spare the city. Think about that. Lot, his sons-in-law, his daughters, his wife, the daughters he had at home, that would have made up 10. At least 10. But they couldn't even find 10. Why? Because of Lot's sinfulness. Where are you at today? Maybe you're here, you're not even saved. Maybe you don't even know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. It's hard for you to be surrendered to somebody that you don't know. Listen, He wants you to know Him today. He said, today is the day of salvation. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He wants you to trust in Him today. If you're here and you've never put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, asking Him to forgive you of your sins and to be your Savior, you need to do that today, because if the Lord were to come back or you were to die, you'd go to hell. But if you're saved, you'd go to heaven. And what a joy it is that Jesus Christ, because of His love for us, died on the cross for us and made a way for us to go to heaven. But once you're saved, church, listen, the reason that we don't have revival in our nation today is because the church has become worldly. We become worldly. We don't act any different than the world. But the Bible says, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. You say, oh, that preacher, he preaches standards. Yep. Why? Because God's book talks about standards. Oh, he preaches on being separated and we can't even talk to the world. I didn't say that at all. The Bible says you're in the world but not of the world. That means you have to live around them, but you don't have to develop their philosophies. You're supposed to act different. We're a peculiar people. And if I were to say I was a peculiar person, Miss Lisa would say, amen. We're supposed to be peculiar. We're supposed to be different than the world is. Are you surrendered or are you sinful? You know what's going to change this church is if the men of this church will just surrender. Just surrender. But what's it going to take to be surrendered? It's going to take faith in God and love for God. If you have those two things, it'll equal surrender. And Abraham was called a friend of God. Why? Because he was fully surrendered to the Lord. Will you surrender to him today? You know what surrender means? That means getting rid of the things that you know God doesn't want you to have, but that you like. The things that hinder you from growing spiritually. Every one of you know what they are because the Holy Spirit put them on your heart when I said it. I don't have to list names. You know what it is. The Holy Spirit said, oh, he's talking about that. And some people are going to say, all that preacher does is preach about and mention that thing. When I didn't even have to mention it, it was the Holy Spirit of God that did it. But listen, if he brought something up in your life that is taking place of God, whatever you've got exalted above the Lord, you need to put that down and put God back where he goes. And God ought to be preeminent in all things. Listen, you're either surrendered or you're sinful. Which one is it? Heads bowed, eyes closed.